this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
Praise God. I'm high on life. You know, I preached about this one time on TBN, and it wasn't really received as well as I hoped it would be. But the reason why drugs and synthetics and drinking and all that's a problem is because that's what the Holy Ghost is supposed to be for you. It's supposed to get you high. I get high on the Holy Ghost. And be not drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. And praise God, I'm high on life. I'm excited about being alive. I'm excited about the abundant life Jesus has given us. I'm excited about what God is doing. I'm excited about the revival that's coming to the world. I'm excited about people getting saved and healed and miracles. Amen. Praise God. Turn with me to the Word of God, if you would. Let's turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 45. And I got a lot of verses here. Let me just read a few of them so I won't keep you standing too long. But let's go to verse number 9. Haste ye, and go up to my father, and say unto him, Thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me lord of all of Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not, for thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children, and thy children's children, and thy flocks, and thy herds, and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee, for there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that has come to poverty. You may be seated. I want to talk to you about living in the land of Goshen. You know, my life is just tremendously, tremendously blessed. I met a man yesterday. He's an immigrant from Mexico and doing very well in this country. Just a wonderful gentleman. And I found out after there's a business guy, I ever talked to him, I found out he goes to Community Bible Church. You're just a wonderful guy. But he said, you know what? He said, you're the reason I came to this country. I said, really? I never met you before. He said, no, people like you. He said, I want a life like you've got, and that's the reason why I came to America. Well, America's been good to me, but that's not the reason I'm truly blessed. The reason I'm blessed is greater than America, as great as it is. The reason I'm blessed is because there is a God that knows me by name. Do you realize that God knows you by name? That He's numbered the hairs on your head? That you're the apple of His eye? It is the will of God to bless you coming in and going out. It's the will of God to open up the heavens and pour you out a blessing more than you are able to contain. But I look at other people, even other Christian people, and compare their life to me, and it seems to me like their life is a whole lot harder than mine. You know, and I've said it kind of facetiously, but the Bible teaches us that God will not allow to be put more on us than we can bear. And I said, apparently I can't bear much because not much has been put on me. I've lived a blessed life. Some people call it white privilege. I call it blood privilege. I believe I'm covered with the blood of Jesus Christ. And I am privileged and I am blessed. And so most of you in this building would know the story of Joseph, how he ended up in Egypt and God elevated him and promoted him until he was in control of all the sustenance that was in Egypt. And when the famine came, he was not only able to sustain the Egyptians that had put him in place, but also he called for his brothers that had sold him into slavery and was able to sustain them. That's what this text is all about. And I just want to tell you today that God will carve out a safe place of posterity for all that love Him and are faithful to Him. It doesn't matter what happens in this world. I know people get hyped up over politics, but I can tell you Joe Biden's administration will end. And Donald Trump's administration ended. Some of you thought it would never end, but it did. It ended. But the Bible said of his government, there is no end. The administration I am under is under the administration of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I'm blessed all the time. No matter what happens, I'm going to live a Goshen life. I'm living a Goshen culture. I'm living a Goshen anointing in my life. And no matter what happens, my God is going to take care of me, for I am in the Father's hand, and no man can pluck me out. The Bible said posterity. He uses this word in this text, posterity. In this particular context, it means you and your children and your disciples, the people that you influence. God has got a special blessing for them. Have you ever felt like the world was coming apart? Or more personally, like your world was coming undone? That's exactly the way the devil wants you to feel. And he wants you to have lots of excuses. Well, the reason why we're living in the last days, the reason why there's a falling away, the reason why sin is abounding. And so you make all these excuses why it seems like your life is coming apart. But ladies and gentlemen, I believe that a Christian can get into a culture where these things that are affecting the unbeliever don't even affect you. You can be blessed in the midst of all kinds of poverty and problems this world is having. And that's exactly the way I intend to live. I've come across so many believers in my many years of ministry who go through storms and persecutions in the wilderness, and they just think that's the way it's supposed to be. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, there is a way to live above all that, to rise up above that, to be in the Father's hand. Even Job, when he was being attacked, he finally just gave in. He said, well, I tell you what, this life is just a few days and full of trouble. Jesus Christ came to alter that statement because he came to extend your days and he came to limit your trouble. And that's exactly what happened. You know, things happen that I don't like in my life, but when they do, I say, that's not what's supposed to be happening. I'm God's bride. I belong to God. And so this thing that's come against me cannot last. God will cause it to turn around. And out of this terrible attack, something good is going to happen. And it always does. God will protect me. I'm living in a Goshen culture. Look what the Bible said. But now do therefore, don't be grieved or angry with yourself. This is Joseph talking to his brothers. You know, that's one of the things, to get into the Goshen culture, to live in the land of Goshen, you've got to quit blaming yourself. You've got to quit grieving yourself. Well, I say, I don't have this, I don't have that. Friend, you've got to begin to look at yourself through the eyes of Jesus Christ. Not only did Christ come to save the world, he came to save you individually. And you've got to begin to isolate on yourself and say, I am a changed individual. I've been born again. It doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter what your genealogy is. Once you get born again, see, I take a tremendous exception, and I guess I'm the only one that does this, but they talk about generational curse, and they say, well, you're a Christian living under a generational curse. I don't believe that. I simply do not believe that. I believe when you get saved, you are regened. If you're living under a generational curse, that means that the blood of Christ simply didn't do anything for you. You're still living under that curse. Now, I do realize that there are habits and lifestyles that people have a tendency to follow. If your father was a heavy drinker, you tend to be a heavy drinker. And so you say, well, that's a generational curse. No, that's just a lifestyle that you've chosen to follow. But when I got born again, when I got saved, everything that was generational was broken out of my life, and I was grafted into a group of people that are the blessed of God. And that's where I'm living today, and I get up every day expecting something good to happen to me. I tell them, and they just fuss because sometimes I'm here and I hear, I say, put the mail on my desk. All the mail that comes to church, I want it on my desk. And they say, why? Oh, because I always think that in that mail there's going to be a blessing. I can't stand to hear a phone ring. It could be the most important person in the world with the biggest blessing in the world, and they're calling just for me. Answer the phone. I am in a war with the younger generation that don't answer your phone. I call you and you don't answer. And there's so many times when most people I call, let me just tell you this. If you see me calling, you ought to answer the phone. Most people I call to give them good news. I call them to tell them something good. It's going to be, if I call, answer your phone. And praise God, if you call, I'm going to answer my phone because I'm expecting good news. I'm just a recipient of God's blessing, and I expect it all the time. I am not angry with myself. I'm not mad about my mistakes. And that's what Joseph said to his brothers. Okay, I've taken you into a new place. You've been living over there. You've been starving to death. It's been famine. But now you here you are in Egypt. Not only are you in Egypt, I'm going to put you in a special place in Egypt. I'm going to put you in a place called Goshen, and it's going to be blessed beyond all the rest of Egypt. But he said the first thing is you got to quit being angry with yourself. You've got to say, hey, look what the Lord has done in my life. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. I have been reformed, redone, restored. Praise God. It doesn't matter about my past. I'm not living in my past. I'm living in this present moment, and it's good. But praise God, the future is going to be even better because I'm going to allow God to be big in my life. I'm going to allow God to do what he wants to do. God wants to exceed abundance. I preached that message in Miami one time, the first time I'd ever preached it. But the Bible said exceeding abundantly. What does that mean? That means whatever's been big in your life, God wants to exceed it. That is the role of God. You know, God above all is a father. That's the reason why in the Bible, he calls himself a father. And when you have got children, and if you're a good father, you like to bless your children. And you find a thrill in doing that. Well, the God that created the universe, the greatest thrill that God has is blessing his children. And so what you need to do is look at your life. And I know some people, I've heard people pray that way and say, God, if you'll do this for me, I'll never ask for anything again. That's crazy. God, if you do this for me, I'll ask you for twice as much tomorrow. I'm just getting in the habit of this, praise God. Because God wants to exceed abundance. So look at the best day of your life and look how abundantly God has blessed you and say, now it's the will of God to exceed that day, to exceed that abundance. No matter how good, it's supposed to be better. And so Joseph said to his brothers, don't be angry with yourself for what you've done. That's forgiven. And God's used this for a great, great plan. And he said, now therefore be not grieved or angry with yourself because you sold me. For God sent me before you to preserve life. I know that Joseph is a type of Christ, but he's also a type of the born-again believer that is totally victorious. Let's look at that phrase, to preserve life. It means to replenish life or to revive, to bring back to life. Preserving also life also speaks of sustenance. Whatever you need in your life, God said, that's the reason why I've brought you here. As evil as Joseph's brother was, God had a plan for them. And even in their evilness, God said, that's all right. I'm going to forgive that. And I'm going to use Joseph to bring you to a place of prosperity in a time of poverty. And so he put him in the land of Goshen. And the land of Goshen was an amazing, amazing place. Because when the plagues came to Egypt, they did not come to Goshen. Goshen was a bubble. Friend, I'm telling you, if you get right with God, you see, that's the reason why we need to understand there's more to this message than just getting saved and not going to hell or just getting saved and going to heaven. This is a present gospel. Right now, something's supposed to happen to you. You can get to a place where you are living in a blessing bubble where just everything works for your good. I've got pastor friends, they call me, say, man, everything you touch turns to gold. Well, God's blessed me, but I have a great expectation. Expectation, Rod Parsons says, is the breeding ground for miracles. And it certainly is. I expect to be blessed. When something goes wrong in my life, that's not the way it's supposed to be. That is an error that somehow I've let in or the devil's attacking. But that's not the will of God. God's not using these things to prove me. God's already proven himself to me on the cross. Jesus proved himself on the cross. I know how much he loves me. He died for me. And he did not waste his blood on the cross that now he would put me through trial and all kinds of pain and anxiety. Friend, that is a void theology. We need to realize that God is a good God. He's in this house right now, and God is saying, I don't care what's happening in this world. I've got a place called Goshen. I've carved out a place for the people of God. There is such thing as a Goshen anointing that no matter what you do, that God comes down and honors it. And it's a wonderful, wonderful place to live. And ladies and gentlemen, you can aspire to that. If you'll seek first God and His kingdom, if you'll put Jesus first, you can get that Goshen anointing on your life that when you reach out and touch something, praise God, it turns to something good. It turns to something prosperous. And the Bible said, and God sent me therefore to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. And that's what God wants to do to every one of us. The word Goshen means a place of comfort. It means a place of plenty. The prophetic meaning is the land of preservation. That's what God is talking about. It's important to understand that Goshen is a supernatural location. A guy yesterday I was doing business with, he said, look, I just moved here from California. He said, look at this. He pulled out his phone and he showed me the gas prices, $5.55 in California. And he said, they want to bring that here. Well, friend, I want gas to be 20 cents or 30 cents, whatever. I can remember when gas was 19.9. Am I the oldest person in the house? By the way, Pastor Bram was trying to get some help Wednesday night to help me over at the OGX building, and he said, we asked for people to show, and everybody raised their hand was over 70. He said, is there anybody under 70 that will help us? So there's anybody under 70. Remember, it's when gasoline was 19.9. And so now it's $5.55 in California. Friend, gasoline does not bother me. I'm not bragging about this. I'm just telling you that 30 years ago, I bought a piece of land that's got a little oil well on it, and it pumps every day, and it never makes big money. But it'll make just enough to pay all of my fuel every month. And when gas price goes up, my little oil well, it goes up. And so my gasoline, I do a lot of driving. My gasoline runs about $1,000 a month. That's what it costs me to fuel all my vehicles, my cars, and everything I'm doing. Well, that's just about what my little well brings in. And so the point is, I'm not even concerned about the price of gasoline for myself, just for you. But I want you to get in a place where you're living in Goshen, saying, God's going to take care of my gasoline bill. God's going to take care of my car. God's going to take care of my house. God's going to take care of everything. We can live in Goshen. You got to aspire to it. You say, well, I can't think like that. Yes, you can. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Change your thinking. It's an old cliche, but get rid of that stinking thinking and start thinking, I belong to God. I'm the pride of God. I'm the apple of God's eye. God wants to put me in Goshen. It doesn't matter what's happening in the White House or the State House. It doesn't matter what's happening down in Bexar County Courthouse. Praise God, because I am very special, because Jesus Christ has bought me and He paid a big price for me. When you look at something, somebody said, what did that cost? They mean, man, that's precious. Oh, that cost a lot. Do you know what you cost? You cost a fortune. You cost the blood of Jesus Christ, and you should never think of yourself as a cheap commodity again. You ought to rise up every day and say, I'm special because I was bought with the blood of Jesus Christ, and it doesn't matter what's happening in this world. Praise God, God is separating me out. He uses that very phrase in this. He separates you out. He puts you in Goshen. So when the flies came to Goshen, well, you know, we got a house we're working on, and we there for a while, and a few months ago, I sold everything I had. I didn't even have a house, so we got another house now. And so we're working on it, and we're painting, and got the doors open, and so it's getting flies, and I can't stand a fly. Somebody told me that the house fly was the state bird of Kentucky, but that's not right. That's just what they say. That's just what they said in Indiana. Indiana, they make fun of Kentucky. You know, human nature's always got to make fun of somebody. Indiana makes fun of Kentucky. And so they used to say in Indiana when I lived there that the state bird of Kentucky was the house fly. That's not true. But so got some flies in there. I went and got me a fly swatter. I don't know how long it's been since I had me a fly swatter. But, man, I'm deadly with a fly swatter. Whoa. I'm getting to where I'm enjoying it, praise God. I don't hunt deer anymore. I'm just hunting house flies. Praise God. Got that house fly. But we're living in a house fly. But in Goshen, in Egypt, there was a plague of flies. Can you imagine a plague of flies? You can, because about every other year we have a plague of crickets in this church. And they tell me the reason why we have so many crickets in this church is all the lights we got on the outside of the building. They said, you turn off the lights and you won't have all those crickets. I said, oh, we can't turn out the lights. We have to endure the crickets. But anyway, there was a plague of flies in Egypt. But in Goshen, there were no flies. Do you understand what the meaning of that is? That means that when the pestilence comes to this world, that you can live in a place to where you are totally protected, and what's happening to other people is not happening to you. And that's what we are trying to do in this church. We're trying to get people saved. That's the number one thing, get people saved. But real close on that is to get them in the Christian culture where they can live in this world but not be of this world, and where the plagues of this world that are so abhorrent to so many people are not affecting them. We still got joy like a river. We're still celebrating Jesus Christ. We're not cursing every day. We're not looking around saying, this world is so bad, I just can't stand it. We're saying, I'm living an abundant life. I'm living a joy-filled life. The Lord's on my side. It doesn't matter what happens to the economy. God's finding a way to get my check to me. God's finding a way to get my money to me. It doesn't matter what happens. God is protecting me and my health. Praise God. That's what it means to have a Goshen anointing, to live in the land of Goshen. And friend, that's exactly where I'm living. You know, things could turn a little downturn this last year with the economy and COVID and all this people, and people couldn't come to church, and we got down to maybe 10% or less than that. I don't remember, almost nobody here, and we just kept having church. But you realize that the Lord helped me to raise almost $1 million for this church in little business deals I was doing outside the church. And so any kind of a deficit was supposed to be there, it just didn't happen. The devil thought it was going to be a deficit. It turned out to be the great year for us. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you that my God is bigger than any culture. God is bigger than any pestilence. God is bigger than any problem. And if you'll seek first the Lord, just keep coming to God's house. Just keep praising God. Just keep praying. Just keep worshiping Him and saying, praise God, I have come to the kingdom of God for such a time as this, and God has brought me out, and He wants me to live a victorious life. And you know what God said to Joseph? He said, I'm doing this not just for you, but for your brethren. Have you ever noticed how God blesses people, but when He blesses you, it's so that you can bless the people that have despitefully used you. Here was his brothers, and God said, I'm going to bless you so much that your revenge is going to be to bless the people that sold you into slavery. Friend, there's no satisfaction like that. When somebody's tried to hurt you, or tried to kill you, or gossiped against you, or stopped against, attacked against you, and you get so blessed that you can say, I forgive you because it didn't stop me. It didn't slow me down. Your gossip just propelled me on. I've told you a little story about how I preached about angels in Houston, Texas one time, and I preached about they are ministering spirits, and how the president of the Bible College, he wrote letters on me and said I was in heresy. He tried to stop my ministry, and what I got from that was the board members of that very college where the president wrote the letter against me started calling me. I was traveling, evangelizing. They started calling me and said, Steve, we've never heard that doctrine. Can you come to our church and explain it? And so this president of this Bible college meant to shut me down, but he advertised for me. And I got all kinds of revivals out of it. Friend, I'm going to tell you, when the Lord's on your side, it don't matter who's against you. Even the gossip will be turned for your good. And so here it was turned around, and these very brothers that had kidnapped him and tried to kill him and sold him into slavery, now he's a blessing for them. Remember the four lepers that were cast outside the city of Samaria, and now they're over there in the camp. camp of Syria, and they're eating all that fine food, and they say, if we sit here, some great mischief is going on. We got to go back to Samaria, the very city that talked about us and cast us out and tried to kill us and threw us out. Now, we're going to go back to them, and we're going to show them our prosperity. Do you realize the greatest tool of evangelism that you can possibly have is to have a Goshen anointing, to be living in the land of Goshen in a time when other people are going through distress? And they say, how do you do it? You say, I serve Jesus Christ. Jesus is my strength. Jesus is my source. Jesus is my blessing. He is my friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Nobody can separate us. We're too close. You can't get in between me and my Jesus. And he takes care of me no matter what is happening in this world. Ladies and gentlemen, I not only want you not to go to hell. I don't only want you to go to heaven. I want you to enjoy heavenly places right now. I want you to start living the blessed life and get up every morning and say, I'm glad to be alive. I just praise God I'm alive. I don't dread one day. Somebody said, oh, thank God it's Friday. Well, Friday ain't no better than Monday to me. I love every day. I love all 7 days because every day God is going to find a way to bless me and get good things in my life. I'm living under a cloud of blessing. I'm living under an open heaven. I'm living in Goshen. I've got a Goshen blessing on me. And somebody said, anything bad? What about your leg? Said, you hurt your leg. You totally severed the quad tendons. That's right. And not only that, 2 months later, after you had it fixed, you went and did it again. Jim sitting right here a while ago, I was telling him about it. And I told him about how I severed it the second time. And he said, you might need to get you another doctor. You might need to get you a brain surgeon. He sounds like my wife telling me to be careful and not re-injure. Well, that's not a good thing. But praise God, it's not going to keep me down. It's not going to slow me down. It's already healed. It's a little stiff. I bought me a stationary bike yesterday. I'm going to pedal my way until that thing, all that stiffness is gone. I'm not going to let nothing stop me. I'm in the hand of God. God's on my side. I'm going to have victory. I don't care what kind of defeat this world has. I'm going to live in heaven. I don't care what kind of hell is going on in this world. I'm telling you, I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And some of you just gave you a little gibberish and a little language and didn't do anything for you. But praise God, it made me superhuman. As Creflo said, praise God, it put the super on my human, praise God. Oh, it put the super on my natural. I am now anointed in the Holy Ghost. And I don't care what weapon is formed against me. It's not going to prosper, praise God. I'm not only a conqueror, I'm more than a conqueror. I am overcome by the blood of the Lamb. See, that's the reason why a lot of people still having problems. This is a two-part thing. You're made an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb. You don't have anything to do with that. Jesus just took his blood and covered you. But now you got to get not only saved, you got to get to Goshen and live prosperous. That's where the word of your testimony comes in. You got to start telling everybody who you are. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. Greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. You fire me and I'll start a company just like this and I'll be a competitor of yours. It don't matter. The Lord's going to open a door that no man can shut. The Lord is going to make a way where there is no way, because I am a superhuman being, because I have been born again of the Spirit of the living God, and nothing can keep me down. Give me this mountain, Caleb said. I am able. It just simply does not matter, because I know the Lord is on my side. But let me go back to my original point as I hasten to a close. You got to get to the place where you don't grieve about yourself. And you don't judge yourself. That was the first lesson that Joseph taught his brothers as he put them in Goshen. Get to the place where you don't grieve about your past and you don't blame yourself. As long as you do that, folks, you're never going to rise to the posterity, to the position, to the culture that God wants you to be at. God wants you to rise up and say, in the name of Jesus, it doesn't matter who I was, or where I came from, or what I've done. He wants us to celebrate the resurrection. not just the resurrection that is to come, but the resurrection that has already happened in our life. If the same Spirit be in you that rose Christ from the dead, well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, the same Spirit's in me. The same Spirit that rose Christ from the dead. If that same Spirit wouldn't let that earthly body of Christ stay in that tomb, that same Spirit won't let me be defeated. It won't let me stay down. It won't let me be run over. It won't let me be the tail. I've got to be the head every time because I've got that same Spirit. I've got a Goshen anointing on me, praise God, and God is saying that He wants to take me to a place where I've never, ever been before. Number one, because He loves me. And number two, He wants me to be a witness. There's a whole world out there that is looking for a better life. And if I can show them the abundant life that Jesus Christ has given me, I can win them to Christ. These are the prophetic declarations that He said. If you will live in Goshen, My calling on you will be preserved. God's called me. When God's called you, you have to succeed. Number two, my ministry will be preserved. Number three, my prayer life will be preserved. Number four, my spiritual life will be preserved. Has any good thing come out of this pandemic? It sure has for me. It's made me lean heavily on the Lord. It's developed my prayer life to where I'm praying more and seeing more results in my life. This pandemic has been a terrible thing, but you can take from this pandemic things that will make you stronger and preserve you. My prayer life will be preserved. My spiritual life will be preserved. My finances will be preserved. Praise God. God has blessed me and the church through the way He showed me more during the pandemic than I've ever been blessed financially or the church has ever been blessed. I just refuse to throw in the towel. I'm just not going to throw in the towel. I don't care what happens in this world. God is greater. My marriage will preserve. Praise God. Becky's decided to keep me another year. You know, we had big plans. People, we had our 50th wedding anniversary in January. Been married 50 years. And so, you know, people go to Europe and Hawaii and all kinds of things. And so, I had big plans. I was going to take Becky to Houston. And then I hurt my leg. And so I gave her the privilege of just waiting on me while my leg was getting better for our 50th anniversary. But the point I'm making is the Lord has preserved our marriage after 50 years. I'm the best husband I've ever been. Isn't that so? Praise God. But it's like I said the other day, as one of our ushers or security guy said to me, said, Pastor, you always look so sharp. I said, man, you really dress good. I said, the competition has got a lot less. Back when I was young, I mean, you was competing with them, but now I'm just competing with holes in their jeans. That ain't hard to beat, folks. I promise you. It just ain't hard to beat. I can go down to Kmart and buy some clothes and outdress them now. I used to have to go to real men's stores, you know. But anyway, the point I'm making is I'm the best husband I ever was, but I didn't have a lot of competition because in those first years, I'm just going to tell you, Becky and I was traveling when we first got married. That's all we did. We didn't own I always kept a new car. Always had a new Lincoln. I just always loved new Lincolns. But we didn't have an apartment. We didn't have a house. We didn't even have a house. We just traveled and preached for all those years. And usually stayed in pastors' homes. And it just dawned on me just recently, last year or two, that I took all the money and I didn't give Becky any money. If Becky wanted any money, she had to come and say, Steve, can I have $3? Can I have $5? That's terrible. I want to apologize to you publicly for that. And so what I'm saying is I'm the best husband I've ever been now because the husband that I used to be is so easy to compete with. I'm just getting better, folks. And one of the things you can reflect on is that you're getting better. You're getting better. And you need to strive to be better. Be more patient. I'm trying not to interrupt Sister Becky when she's talking. That's one of her pet peeves. She starts to tell me something, and I don't ever let her finish it. I just interrupt her right in the middle of it and start talking over the top of her. And so she's asked me to quit doing that. And I haven't got it perfected yet, but I'm letting her finish her sentence about 20% of the time, which is much better than zero. But next week, I'm going to work on 30% of the time. And by our next anniversary, I won't be up to 50% of the time she's going to get to finish her sentence. I'm retrospective. I'm looking at myself. You said, man, you're 71 years of age. You might as well give up. Oh, no, I ain't giving up. I'm going to get better. I'm going to be a better pastor. I'm going to be kinder. I'm going to be a better soul winner. I'm going to see people's advantage point and where they're coming from. I'm going to do better because God is helping me. And praise God, I'm going to live another 20 years at least, maybe 30. But oh, these next 20 years are going to be the best years of my life. I'm going to preach my best sermons. I'm going to win more people to Christ. I'm going to pray. God told me, and I put it on Twitter the other day, you don't have to have a national platform if you pray to a universal God to affect this nation. You said, nobody knows my name, but friend, if you can pray and touch God, God can move in this earth and on this earth. You know how to do that. Friend, this is our best day. And you have to realize, you are not subject to what this world is subject to. God has got you in Goshen. God's got you in a special place. And all you do is you go out in Goshen and talk to somebody, and then you run back to Goshen. You go out to Goshen, go out in Egypt and show them. And you know they want a lot of proselyte Egyptians that way, and they became proselyte Jews because they saw the way they were being blessed. Did you know that God could give you a new car tomorrow because he knows you'd use it to win somebody to Christ? Do you realize that? Do you not realize that God could give you a new home this month because you'd use it to win somebody to Christ? Do you realize that God could promote you on your job because you would use it to win people to Christ? The greatest weapon and the greatest instrument of evangelism is that you prosper, and people look at you and say, we came from the same neighborhood. How come you're doing this and I can't do it? And then you can share Christ with them, even your own kinfolks, your brothers and your sisters, and you can share Christ with them and say, this is what happened. I'm living under a cloud of blessing. I'm living under an open heaven. I'm living in Goshen. I've got a Goshen anointing on me. When I do something, it might not be perfect, but God readjusted. God reformed. You know, some of my mistakes have turned into miracles because God knew my heart was right when I was doing it, and I made a mistake. And God said, that's all right. I'll take that mistake, and I'll turn it into a miracle, and I'll get more glory for it. There's nothing that really glory where you can glorify God more than testify, I made a mistake, but God took that mistake and he turned it into a miracle. That's the whole thing. We're here to glorify God. And when we're blessed and we share that blessing and we say, God gave us this job, God gave us this increase, God gave us this money, God gave us this healing. I don't believe God puts sickness on you, but praise God, when the devil tries to kill us and God comes in and heals us, what a marvelous instrument to say, I'm not normal, I'm not normal, I'm not natural, I'm supernatural, I'm living in the Holy Ghost. God is using me. And praise God, it's going to be all right. And people are looking at you. They come to you, console you. Oh, I'm so sorry that it happened to you. If you've got real faith, you say it's all right because it didn't come to stay. It didn't come to last. Praise God, God will turn this thing around. And this time next month, I'll have a testimony in place of this trial. And you win people to Christ with that. We are a blessed people, but we need to learn to be a people of celebration. Celebrate our victories. Celebrate our overcoming. Stand on your feet right now and just praise God and thank God that you are who you are. I just ask you, and I say this sincerely, not to be a smart aleck, but I just ask you, who do you look at in this world and say, I'd like to be them? I don't have one person that I look and say, I'd trade my life for them. I wouldn't want to be a movie star. I wouldn't want to be a singer. I wouldn't want to be, I didn't realize this. I watched this deal the other day, a documentary on Garth Brooks. I had no idea that Garth was that big. Garth sold more albums than anybody in the world ever. It's crazy. But he deals with tremendous depression. Hundreds of millions of dollars. One of the most celebrity. A million people showed up in Central Park to see him. when he sang in Central Park. A million people. I've been to Central Park, and there were several people there, but I don't think they came to see me. I think they were just walking in the park with me. But I wouldn't change my life with Garth Brooks. I wouldn't change my life with Joe Biden or Donald Trump or some movie star or the mayor or somebody. I'm just pretty excited about who I am because God's brought me out, cleaned me up, born me again, praise God, wrote my name down in heaven. And he said, now, until you get here, I'm going to take you from victory to victory, blessing to blessing, overcoming to overcoming. Praise God in the name of Jesus. I wonder if there's anybody in this building that you're going through something. I'm going to tell you what, I've got big faith. Two people that have blessed me in the last few years, about as much as anybody, is a guy named Rex Johnson. He's preached here several times. And Brent Norden. And the reason why is, every time I'm around them, they talk about my faith. And them talking about my faith has increased my faith. You know, it's good to hear somebody talking about you good, not just yourself. It's good to encourage yourself, but if you can get other people encouraged, it's even better, praise God. And hallelujah, I got big faith. If you're in this building and you're going through something, you got fired, I believe you're going to get a better job. You got a bad doctor's report, I believe you're going to get a miracle. You're out of money, I believe God's going to bring finances to you. You're having problems in your marriage, I believe God's going to heal and restore your marriage. And so the point I'm making is, if you got a little bit of faith, I preached that message on a little faith where Jesus said little faith. And we always use that as a rebuke. But if you look at every time Jesus said little faith, then he did a big miracle right on the heels of it. And so if you just got little faith here today and you're going through something in your life and say, I just wish this thing could turn around, I'm going to stand right here today and tell you I believe it's going to turn around. And if you'll just bring your little faith right down here and just put your hand in my hand and we're just going to join together and praise God, God's going to heal your baby. God's